It's been a while since I've been with you, my friend, on a city quake. What time is this morning session? Like 11:20? I tried to get 5 minutes, didn't I? I really did think it was 11:20, but 5 minutes would be good. First of all, I just want to thank you guys for whatever it took to be here and having the hunger to be here. Amen. It might not even seem like a big room, but listen, when you're walking in the light like he's in the light, when you're walking in love, there's a power to sowing and reaping that I don't think we understand. I don't think I totally see it other than I want to see it. Like this is an army when we're walking in love. If you just start walking in love and you touch people like this vision is for City Quake along the way, and I don't want to get rigid with numbers, but just here and there, you're just touching and loving and seizing opportunity. You see what I'm saying? And then you multiply that by days. And you multiply that by people. And then you multiply that by months. Are you following what I'm saying? Like, that's, I believe, God's plan for having true impact. I think we're always looking for some big major outpouring. I think we're supposed to be the outpouring. Really, honestly, that's not fancy talk. I honestly believe we're supposed to walk in love. And as you go, preach saying the kingdom of God is here. You do that not with a bullhorn. The kingdom of God is here. You do that by living the kingdom. Are you following me? So I'm excited to be here. I just wanted to thank you. I was appreciating it this morning and the worship was going on. I'm thinking, man, it's Friday morning. People had to make it a point, had to somehow accomplish being able to be here, and the fact that you are here, it just blesses and pleases my heart. Listen, we the sower sows the word, we sow, sometimes somebody waters, but who brings the increase? Okay, sometimes scripture says you reap where you didn't even. How cool is that? Now, the problem is we think because we reap, we're great evangelists, so then we just go on preaching on evangelism and travel the world on evangelism. But honestly, the truth is this. You reap sometimes where you haven't even. So why'd you reap? Because somebody sowed. You see how important this is? Do you see how important you are in the process? Some sow, some water, God gives the increase. Sometimes we reap where we haven't even sowed, but we all rejoice together. Are you following me? It's just really, really important. So stay encouraged in walking in love. You can be nervous. Don't get introspective and like always question your motive. Listen, if you have a heart to pray for somebody, walk through the feelings. We used to say in Power and Love all the time, just be a Christian Nike commercial. Just do it. Like, just do it, right? And like, because sometimes you're saying, should I go pray for that person? The Lord's probably saying, yeah. Like the no you think you're hearing is probably your apprehension. You have a yes unless you hear no. That's just what I believe. It's a yes and amen gospel. Like, should I believe for them? Yeah, probably. Go ahead. So what I'm saying is stay active. Don't get discouraged. Don't let even how people respond to you dishearten you and discourage you. Like, I think sometimes, like, you could talk to somebody that's just been through a hard time, somebody that has a wrong belief about God, somebody that lost a loved one, they were young, and they had just a twisted up theology that made them bitter towards the Lord. And then you come all bright and smiley, and they're not feeling bright and smiley. And you're like, hey, hi, and you mention the Lord or Jesus, and they're, ah, you know what I mean? You don't have time sometimes to muddle through all that, weigh through all that. Sometimes you don't even have the grace to continue to pursue that because they're very upset. I've had people treat me that way on occasion. It's actually a few times where I kind of just backed down and said, man, I'm really sorry that you feel that way. Oh my goodness, that wasn't my intention. And rather than try to pursue something, I just backed out and said, I'm sorry. Why is that important sometimes? And then when you don't get to your car and say, now what did I do wrong? And we're always debriefing and trying to change our approach. Just be sincere and just be genuine and just care for people. And if they totally blow that off and don't understand your heart, apologize for that and just back out. Here's why I'm telling you this. This just, I don't know, it just seems important this morning. So because we're living this way, somebody else just happens to bump into them. Who knows God can do that? Who knows that you, honey, could just go, hey, sir, you just seem like, well, why do you care? Well, I was just wondering if you could pray for me with a blank. And he's treating you. You're like, oh. Right? Right? And you're like, what just happened? Here's what you don't want to do. I am never doing this again. Look, it's a reflection of where people are sometimes. It's just a reflection. The guy could be hurting, angry, believing something. You didn't do anything wrong because you approached him and you, but sometimes you just got back out. Now watch this. Who knows? I like to paint this scenario because I want to just create faith in our heart and vision for how God works things. So let's just say, because we're stirred up in this conference and there's a handful of us around that are willing and, like the man said yesterday, available. Who knows that it's a small thing for the Lord to pass you by that man 2 days after she just got, rah. Who knows it's a small thing? Who knows God can arrange that? Who knows that he can align one of his that's open and willing in the path of that man that was really upset? And all of a sudden that person goes unknowing, led by the Spirit, not to the slaughter. Says, hey, sir. Man, I see you look like you really, why do you care? What do you say? Well, I was just wondering if I, pray for me. You're the second blank and blankety blank and person blankety blank, right? Get away from me. You Christians, are you around pushing your, and rah, 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 woo. Look, sorry, didn't mean to, hey, I, yeah. Who knows that can, this stuff can happen. But who knows God's way bigger than all that stuff. You got to make sure that you stay encouraged, that you're genuine, you're sincere. It's not overkill. You're not pushing and shoving. You're not just crossing somebody's face when they do something like that. It's not debrief and what did I do wrong and how can I move more in the Spirit to get a better result. Sometimes we overthink this thing and hypo it. No, sometimes people are just in a place where they just ain't ready to hear. That doesn't mean it's wrong for you to say something. When they do that, you just back out. What are you doing the whole time? What did she do? I'm using her as an example. What did she do that first day? She sowed a seed. Bingo. Now, I'm not the brightest man on the planet, but if you don't sow, nothing's going to grow. But if you sow, somebody just might water. And if some water comes, God just might what? Not just might, God will what? Cause increase. So these two walk up then 2 days later to the same man. Who wants to be my third person? Here's my third person. My third person's walk up to him a day later, 2 days later. They say almost the same thing she said. Almost the same thing. Hey, man, I just noticed you really look like you're in a lot of pain when you walked up that. What are you going to do? Now, don't tell me you're going to want to blankety blank and pray for me. Well, actually, sir, yeah, that was our hearts. We were hoping you. What is it with you Christians? In the last week, you're the third blankety blank in people. Well, sir, rather than get thrown, oh, my gosh, he's mad. What did we do wrong? Well, you know, sir, if we're the third Christians in the last couple of days, maybe God is really trying to say something to you, sir. And maybe it would be really, really important if we would pray for you. And all of a sudden, this guy starts melting down, breaking down, or whatever. I could tell you real stories of people that once God, boom, touched that lie, broke that thing, where they were a totally different person a minute later. You see what I'm saying? So here's my point in this. Let's never grow weary in well-doing. Let's never feel like we're not doing enough if we're loving people sincerely. We call them Holy Ghost drive-bys. I can't tell you how many times I walk by somebody and just say something, and they're like, and I say, yeah, man, have a great day. And you say, you didn't do, did you lead them to the Lord? Well, I just gave them the Lord, the best I saw in that moment. It's not overkill. I'm not trying to get them to pray a sinner's prayer. I'm just sowing a seed. The sower sows the word. You sow a seed. What am I believing? That Holy Spirit is really amazing and that somebody's going to come along and water. If they respond to the seed, you might be the water pitcher as well. You just discern that stuff. You see what I'm saying? If they respond to the seed, if they strike up conversation, why'd you say that to me? Next thing you're talking to them, they might cry and pray the sinner's prayer. You see what I'm saying? But there's this beautiful thing called sowing, watering, and reaping that I want you to understand in this whole vision that we're preaching. And that you all make up a part of that process. And there's times you're going to joyously reap where you've never even sown. You might even say, that is the first time I stepped out and they jumped right in the boat. You know what I'm saying? But it's like the thing I mentioned that Randy, I heard Randy say about the more people we pray for. Listen, the more seeds we sow, the more we have a chance of seeing something grow. And you say, yeah, but some get snatched away. Some are out in left field. Some the rocks and the thorns. Yeah, but you can't tell me there's not some good ground out there that somebody is waiting to be loved by God, whether they realize it or not. That when they see your sincere love, here's what I've learned. When I walk away from people, it's not sometimes till I walk away that they let their guard down and actually realize, wow, there wasn't nothing in it for him. He didn't pull a play card. He didn't pass a basket. He didn't try to talk me into anything. He just, that seemed sincere. It was almost like he loved me or cared. And now they're perplexed by you because of your motive with no string attached. You know, that's rare in life. Everybody believes everybody has something up their sleeve. There's always something in it for you, right? Isn't that what everybody believes? So I wonder if you just freely give because you freely received and they realize it was freely given. And then you walk away and all of a sudden they get to their car and they're sitting in their car and they're puzzled, perplexed, like, man, why would they do that? That's so genuine. I mean, it actually seemed like they cared for me. What are you doing? You're inviting Holy Spirit. You just sowed. You might have watered. All of a sudden, Jesus speaks to their heart and says, I've cared for you from the beginning. I've loved you. All of a sudden, the presence of Jesus is in their car. And all of a sudden, they're crying. And you're in your car wondering if what you did mattered sometimes. I just want to encourage you to wrap more faith around what Holy Spirit wants to do through love when you're sincere. Make sure this thing isn't just a boot camp. Okay, I got to pray for the sick today. Oh, yeah. Don't just go out there and stranglehold somebody and stuff a tract down their mouth. You're going to eat the word. What I'm saying is he works with love. Holy Spirit works with love and people discern love. They recognize love. And I mean, we've had so much fun with this stuff. I remember being in a store and I had a friend with me who's really, really not ashamed. And he really loves Jesus, and he's super sincere. And he'd be kind of a hard person to say no thank you to. He's just that kind of person. And I was in a sporting goods store, and I actually, I don't know, maybe I got distracted. I was overlooking at these lures. Because I like to fish, and I was like, man, maybe I want to grab one of these because these aren't in stock at home. And I was thinking I was shopping, right? So I come around the corner. And I walk right into this. Here's my friend. He's down on his knees. He's down on his knees. He's praying for this guy's knees. And I turn the corner and the guy looks at me and goes. He doesn't know we're friends. He just thinks I'm shopping for bass lures. And I'm like. So. The guy's son is behind my friend, and he's going, like, Dad, what did you get yourself into? Because the guy probably said, my friend probably said, do you mind if I pray for you? He probably said, no, sure, thinking he's going to put him on a list and kneel at nighttime at bed. As soon as you say, of course, to this guy, boom, he's there. And you don't even know what's happening. You're like, oh, he meant now. And now you're in Cabela's and you're going, oh, he meant now. And there's people everywhere. And you're like, oh, no. See, this guy, he doesn't have any faith. This guy is feeling, what did I get myself into? He's mocking him to me, not understanding, not meanly mocking, but his son is for sure mocking, rolling on Dad because he has himself in a jam. And Holy Spirit just doesn't seem to mind any of that. Now, religion would have a lot to say about that, and legalism and all that stuff. But Holy Spirit, really, I think he gets a chuckle out of some of this stuff. Because this guy's looking at me and he still doesn't know. He has no idea. And I'm just watching and I'm listening. I'm thinking, this is awesome. Man, I love this guy. And he's praying. And the guy's like, oh, now, if he did anything, I would encourage him to. And I told him about the whole story later. He prayed a pretty long time. Don't be real long with people when they're in a situation like that. You're not there to make them uncomfortable in that way. You're just there to be a blessing. You're not there to put them on the spot. And you don't have to pray for 3-4 minutes. You really don't. I mean, Holy Spirit, just come. Wasn't it sweet? The lady shared the testimony about it for years, the pain, and for years. And last night, what did we do? Pray for 5-6 seconds. See, that was for you guys, because I love you. She went out there getting self-conscious. Father, I just thank you that right now, God, praise God in the name of Jesus, Father. Just hoping that at one of those phrases, he comes. He's already there. Did you ever hear anybody get Father God syndrome? And Father God, I thank you, Father God. Father God, I just, Father God, yes, Father God. I know it sounds like I'm making fun, but sometimes we put all our faith in what we're praying instead of what we're believing. So this guy stands up. My friend stands up. And the guy's like, well, thank you. But you can tell it was like, I'm not so sure, but hey, thanks. And my friend goes, oh, but we're not done. He's like, what? Huh? What? He said, I really need you to sincerely check your knees. You would know. Check your knees. I think it was just one knee. He says, check your knee. He says, well, I mean, he says, no, really, what would have been hard? Like, what did you protect yourself from, you know, doing and not doing? Just start to do something. Watch and see. Well, just tell me what's going on. He goes, what? What? And you can see the guy's face. It's just fun. He doesn't even know what's going on. What's the deal? My friend has sincere love. Very attractive to Holy Spirit. He's not self-centered, not self-conscious. He's not moved by the man's apprehension or cynicism. He's moved by God's love. And he knows how God feels about that man, whether that man has a clue or not.
You get it?
The son's standing there, and the dad's going, what? And then he gets dramatic and he really does some things with his knee, like bending and stuff. And the son goes, Dad, no way, Dad. He's like, yeah, oh my goodness. And then my friend's like, listen, man, it's Jesus. He loves you. Bam, bam, bam. And the guy's looking around at everybody and I'm still standing there and he's eyeballing me every once in a while because I'm like an observant, you know, person observing. And then my friend turns to me and says, man, thank God. Isn't he awesome? I said, he's amazing, buddy. Thank you. Man, that's awesome. And he's looking like, they know each other. It was just the sweetest thing. Why'd I tell you that testimony? Not just because it's fun and funny. Love's what matters. Love makes all the difference. And it doesn't matter what that person believes. It doesn't matter if they're being cynical. It doesn't matter if they don't understand. Jesus is attracted to sincere and pure love for others. Are you with me? Come on. Did Jesus like have any trouble praying for people in his day? Like, did he say, oh, I'd love to pray for you, but? Or did he just pray for people? Did he heal everyone that came to him? That's pretty amazing. They're so clueless. They're talking about him terrible. They end up crucifying him. The week before he's crucified in the temple area, when he rode in on the donkey, that you read in your Bible, he did amazing miracles and children run around singing. He's doing miracles right before they crucify him. That's a confused bunch of folks, right? We'd have done the same thing. I get it. But what I'm saying is nothing can stop love. Yeah? So if love never fails, don't fail to love. Are you with me? That's all the world's waiting for and doesn't even realize it, is a love that has no string attached to it. Just no matter what they say, how they act, what they look like, how belligerent they seem to be. Oh my goodness, watch this. Let me ask you this question. If they knew who they really were, if they loved God and knew Holy Spirit, would they be that way? Then why don't we have mercy on them instead of frustration towards them? Shouldn't our hearts have compassion? Forgive them, Father, they don't. So I just wanted to stir you in that a little bit this morning and just encourage you to stay in this race of just walking in love and seizing the moment and being available. Don't go outside of grace. Don't just go try to win your whole city in a moment. I just walk in love. Just walk in love. Be discerning and be sensitive. If God gives you a whole store, praise the Lord. You know? But don't go in there and try to take over the store. Just love somebody. Just love somebody. I could tell you some pretty fun stories where I had no intentions of it getting what it became because I just started loving one person. I couldn't even get out of Walmart one day because the lady in her little uniform started screaming that she was validly healed, that Jesus came and healed her, and she ripped off her thing and was freaking out. And she's a worker at the cash register, and I'm just standing there. And she's like, this man came, and he prayed, and it's been like this for weeks, and you couldn't even touch it. Ah, and she's freaking out, and she screams, a little 18-year-old girl, and everybody's just standing there like, because she made a scene. She was extreme. It's not normally the way it is, but she freaked out. So I just seized the moment. I said, well, guys, seeing that Jesus is here in the store and he's healing, anybody need prayer? I couldn't even get out of Walmart. No, I'm not joking. They lined up at the foyer. I prayed for, I don't know how many people I prayed for at Walmart, and they were waiting in line, and I was sharing and ministering Jesus, and it was just fun. I've been on a lot of airplane flights where I've had as many as 4 people waiting in the jetway for prayer because of whatever took place with the person I was with on the plane. I landed in Lexington, and I had a whole gate check bag crew. They were my congregation. And they're by default, like they're forced into being my church for a moment because they're all waiting for their bags. And the lady's coming down them little puddle jumper. You roll the door back and it turns into your 6 stairs straight down. And she's got no knees, man. Like she just turns her ankle and everything pierces her with pain because she's bone on bone. And she's been that way 20 years and is afraid of surgery and anesthesia. So she just shuffled. And we're talking in an airplane, and I don't even know her. We're just sitting, and I'm telling her a story about a lady in Denver that had nothing in her knees and was bone on bone. And she's just looking at me. I said, oh, my goodness, you're that same lady. She said, I am. I said, isn't that amazing? Out of all the things I could have shared, I shared that story. Oh, my goodness, honey. Prayed for her. And she's sitting there going, I'm healed. I'm healed. I know I'm healed. And I'm like, well, honey, I want to see you walk. She said, I don't have to walk. I can tell. I can move. Oh. So we did a little 6 steps. I said, what would this have looked like? She said, oh, my goodness, I would have had somebody in front of me, behind me. I'd have had to get these people beside me to make. She said it would have took me a long time. I'd have went down 1 step at a time, both feet. And it would have took me a long time to get down there. It would have felt like I was going to fall the whole time. I said, well, here's what I want you to do. I want you to just run down them steps. Just come down one after the other like you've never had a problem and just come down. Wait till I get down there, okay? So we're planning all this coming out the little puddle jumper, and I come running down the steps. I said, come on, honey. I got my whole congregation of gate check bag people. She comes running down the steps. She gets to the 3rd step and goes, oh, Jesus, Jesus. I'm like, this is getting good. And then she's like, oh, thank you, Jesus. And she almost knocked me over. Boom, hugged me. I'm like, oh. And so I kind of turned her in the drama. I turned her so I could face my congregation. And she's bawling, going, thank you, Jesus. And I looked at everybody and I said, guys, for 20 years, et cetera, et cetera. And on that flight that we were all on, the Lord Jesus, bam. And I said, come on, you can't fake this. This is, and I just got after them, and they're all like. I prayed for a whole bunch of those people. They were waiting, trembling, asking for prayer, didn't want to leave. It was pretty fun. So I didn't do that to try to take over the puddle jumper plane. I just cared about one little lady sitting beside me, and God turned it into more. So if that happens, praise the Lord. But please love that person you notice. That person you notice, just say something. Just love my word. I walk in the store and somebody will come by and just say, excuse me, hey. And I'll just say one line that I know is the Lord, and they know it's the Lord because it means it's right where they're at. You get what I'm saying? And then you just say something. Listen, the Lord has his eye on you. He really loves you. You just keep walking. You think you always got to go give the knockout punch. Sometimes you just sow and seed, people. Sometimes you just sow and seed. And there, I've walked into a mall and looked back and seen a person already walking to their car like this. Because now he's there. And they really don't need me there right now. And they're going to get in their car and process and cry. Holy Spirit's going to do what he does. And I'm just in there doing what I went to the store for, but that just happened on the way. As you go. Now, sometimes you have more grace. Sometimes you stand out in the parking lot for a half hour, cry and hug and pray, and they rededicate their life. I'm saying just be discerning. Don't get into overkill, and don't think you have to produce anything. Be sincere and just love people, and Jesus will show up. Are you with me? If you're doing this to try to affirm yourself, don't do it. You do it because you're affirmed in Christ. Because you're complete in Christ. You're not doing this to bear witness of your spirituality. You're doing this because he loves people and that love's in you. I talk about this stuff, guys. I'm not just out there looking for you to do this stuff. I want you to do this stuff healthy. You heard my message last night. It was all about being healthy. It's all about running this race till the end. Till the end. Not having some testimony of all these healings, and then you're caught up in a bunch of mess because you're not in communion fellowship with God, and you're riding the wave of the anointing on your life for the gift. That stumbles more people than you might have blessed along the way. Is it okay to talk that plain? Come on. I just get real raw with some of this stuff because I've been saved 26 years, so I've seen all those sad stories, and they're painful. People that were truly anointed, people that were truly gifted. And then they're sleeping with somebody on a worship team, and they got this legacy of testimony of healings and people that can bear witness that God touched them when they prayed for them, and yet they're doing something like that. How's that happen? It happens because you're finding your identity through God, how God's using you instead of your intimacy and relationship with God. Can I be bold? It's not possible to sleep with somebody on a worship team when you're living in Christ, when you're in fellowship with God. You didn't just fall in their arms, people. I'm not being condemning and mean. There's restoration for people. But listen, let's stop just believing we have to be that way. Let's just stop believing we're like so weak that we're ready to stumble on every step and it's amazing God holds us up. Let's get away from that. Let's take some accountability and responsibility for integrity and for honor and for character and living with a pure heart. Because in that situation that I'm describing, you have 1,000 chances to say no, turn and run and be in fellowship with God. Are you with me? So I'm just speaking for me personally. I'm not speaking for Tom or David or anybody else. I'm personally not interested in you at all going out here and trying to live the Cityquake vision if you're not pursuing communion and fellowship with the Lord. Because something ultimately will take the place of knowing him. So your church attendance could take the place of knowing him. Your service in the church could take the place of knowing him. Your daily devotion can take the place of knowing him. Yeah, look, it's possible to play Christian music all day long. All day long. And read 3 chapters in the morning and not have intimacy, communion, and interface with God. You can listen to songs about him. You can put on YouTube. You can pop up a sermon and listen to it in your car for an hour drive and never actually have connectivity with God. You're just listening about him, listening about him, listening about him. What I would encourage you to do in the middle of that, when something touches your heart, you hear a revelation. Wow, Father, that's exactly the way you see me. Wow, Holy Spirit, you're in my life for that very reason. I am so in. Oh my goodness, lead me in every way you see fit through this day. God, and all of a sudden the thing you're listening to, the song that you're hearing sung about redemption and righteousness, all of a sudden in the middle of the song, you're wearing that. You're putting it on. You're looking good in it because he paid for it and it's tailor-made to fit you. You get what I'm saying? Come on. I just think we miss knowing him way too much. Like, really. So we're trying to do the stuff. to affirm we know him. But when you know him, the stuff will affirm that you know him. It's the other way around. Are you guys okay? Okay. So, what do we do? I have almost an hour. It's good. Believe me, I'm not like thinking, no, what are we going to do for an hour? My heart's just getting a little excited. I'm trying to settle down so I'm right this morning. You could say a lot in an hour, huh? Okay. Go to Colossians chapter 1 with me if you would, if you have a Bible. If you don't, just listen up and we'll just read something here. Can I just talk about relationship with the Lord a little bit? You okay with that? It's pretty important that if eternal life is knowing him, then we probably ought to get to know him. If nobody comes to the Father unless he's what? Drawn by him, then if you have a desire for God, it's because he's what? He's drawn you. Why would he draw you? Because he wants you. Oh, why does he want you? Because he wants to live inside of you. Because that's what he always created you for, to live inside of you and be one with you and shine through you. Do you understand why we have a body? I believe I got this. I believe I get this. Like, God's a spirit, but he made us in his image, but he's spirit. God's not a body, God's spirit. Jesus took on a body to pay for man, but God's spirit. God doesn't have a head and arms and legs. Do you ever think of this stuff? Like, God's spirit, but yet he made us for his image, so he can't be talking about head, arms, and legs. This can't be the image. The image, he has to be talking about who God is, not what he looks like. After his own likeness, he's not talking about white hair and my color eyes, and then you got other color hair. He's not talking about head, arms, and legs. He's talking about who God is. He's talking about God is love. God's a lot of things. The names of God, you can just write a list. It's incredible through the word of who God is. But everything hinges on the fact that God is love. Guys, in my thoughts, this is what makes him so incredible. Like, he's all powerful, which is indescribable. He's omniscient, knows everything all the time, beginning to the end. But wonder if he was those things and wasn't love. Wonder if he was all powerful and wasn't love. Wonder if he was just on a power trip. Wonder if he was arrogant. Wonder if you had to be teacher's pet to be in or you're out. Wonder if he played favorites. Wonder if he was biased. All powerful, omniscient, and almighty, but wasn't love. That would change everything about God. What makes him so indescribable to me is that he's all those things, but he's love. You see, I have trouble with this one. I just have trouble with this one. I'll be okay. It'd be better if you don't pray for me, because I'm scared of what some of you pray. Like, more, Lord. Not now. I'm teaching. Now's not the time for a more Lord prayer. No, don't pray those prayers. Heaven will resist you right now. No, seriously. Do you get what I'm saying? He's love. Like, on my darkest day, he didn't have the ability to change his mind about me. On my most willful adventure, he didn't describe me for what I did. He sees me for what he created me to be. Like, his love never fails. He never changed his mind about why I'm on the planet, no matter how many years I lived contrary to that why. That makes him incredible. And no one's loved us this way. He's totally unmoved and unaffected by my sin. Where my sin abounded, grace abounded greater. Now, is it okay to live there? Certainly not. You died to it. You died to it, and you put on a new identity. And you say, man, I don't want to live willful anymore. I don't want to live in the flesh anymore. I'm trusting your grace and your ability to empower me to live in righteousness. God, I'm all in. I want you. I'm giving you my life. That's Christianity. That's how you get born again. Not praying a prayer in case you wreck on the way home from the service and you're not sure where your destination lies. I don't preach that. I'm not against it. I just don't see it produce the fruit that the gospel can produce. I think we give people a piece of the message and we inspire them for a self-centered reason. In other words, it's I come to God for what I can get from him instead of what I can become because of him. And you won't live the same life if you have those motives. The person that's just coming to get something from him could be discouraged when the prayers don't seem to be answered. When a loved one dies, they shipwreck and give up on God because they're moved by sentiment, not truth. And they forget, and then the fall of man, and the wisdom of man, and the foolishness of the wisdom of man in the sight of God is really what it is. It's like, but we're sure we're right, and the analytical mind, and all of a sudden you build a case against God. Now you're angry because God, and people say, well, I can't wait till I get there that day. I got a few things to run by the boss. You don't even have a clue what you're saying. Like, oh my goodness, you've been so deceived. Like in the light of who he is and the glory of who he is, all truth is revealed, all that stuff. You'll be just, oops, duh. And you'll fall on your face and cry because his mercy is allowing you to be there. He's amazing. He loves us. Like, that's what makes him so incredible. Like, wonder if God had issues. Like, wonder if he had the ability to come in this room and decide who he liked and who he didn't. Isn't that how we've all lived? Cliques and groups and bias and... He's love. I want you to understand he's love, and I want you to understand that you can totally approach him. You ought to run to him every time, all the time. Watch this. Don't expect to miss it. Don't wake up to miss it. But if you miss it, not when you miss it, if you miss it, please run to him. Don't run away. Don't do what Adam did. Run to him. And thank him for the truth that's in your heart that is acknowledging what this really was and that this isn't your desire to continue in this and that you're making me wiser and sharper. And I so appreciate how you washed me clean and empowered me to be everything that my heart is burning to be. God, thank you for swallowing up this weakness in your strength. And God, thank you for changing me in this moment. You say, that's what you would do if you missed it? What would you do? Backslide? Get in depression, call three people and repeat it over and over and ask for prayer every time. I'm not being smart. That's what people do. And then they live in condemnation and there's no redemption. They live in guilt and shame and regret. And it's the world's way and it produces death. See, I'm not sure we keep his love real clear in front of us or we just run to him. When you were unlovely, he loved you. When you and I were yet enemies in our mind by the way our minds worked, he loved us. How much more now do you have access to him that he's done a work in your heart? Are you with me? See, why am I saying this? Because this is the foundation for relationship if you're going to continue in him. Why do you think that the name of God is so marred and so abused on the earth today, even among churches, like who God is so butchered up. There's so many representations of God. I believe it's a demonic strategy because if you don't see him clear, you can't give yourself to him clear. And if you don't see him for who he really is, you won't want to be with him like you could. Are you with me? So nothing compares to your ability that God has given through the blood of Jesus to be with the Father. Please be with him. Please wake up in him. Don't wake up and try to be in him. Don't say, well, I'm trying, brother. I'll call you on it every time. I say, trying what? Just step into what he accomplished. Just step into what he paid for. If he said you're accepted in the beloved, then be accepted today. You say, yeah, but I got things I got to work through. No, no, no. Be accepted. And then work through. Be accepted. Be loved. Be forgiven. Be clean. Are you hearing me? Come on, it's not healthy to sincerely cry in godly sorrow over something, and 2 weeks later crying again, and repeating it 2 weeks later and crying the third time. There's a place where you have to accept who he is and what he says and what he accomplished through the blood and say, you know what? Man, that made me sharper and wiser. That's not in my heart anymore. Man, I sorrowed unto repentance, and there's a vindication, 2 Corinthians 7. Now there's an indignation towards that lie that I gave myself to, and what a zeal in me. Yeah. Read it. It's there. It's godly sorrow. It leadeth to repentance, change. Are you with me? Come on. It's just so important, guys, that if we're entering into this race, we're going to be walking love, that we don't stumble over all these little tricks and traps, soulical things and emotions and feelings. Why? I just feel bad. Okay. That's good. Be sincere. But that's where it should end, right where it started. Are you with me? Who's ever noticed the thing that they were really sorry for? Like truly sorry for in your life that you almost are like, man, you know what I'm saying? How that thing comes back and replays. That's not an accident. Who's ever just walked free from that thing for a couple months and you thought, man, things are over, that's behind me. And all of a sudden you're driving to work and it's there and you're thinking about it and you just realized for the last 15 minutes, you just couldn't stop thinking about the thing that you so dreaded. Anybody ever have that experience? It's on purpose. It's strategy. It's to keep you distracted and make you feel defiled or keep you from feeling like you're not okay or you're not clean. It happens to people all the time. And then you know what we do? We call for prayer. We call a friend. Hey, I'm feeling, man, I'm remembering this. I thought I was delivered. Can you pray for me? That's when you put chains back on your soul. When you call for prayer and embrace the memory as if it's you. Now you're caught in an emotional world where you're driven by feelings, and unless you feel better, you're not better. No, unless you believe better, you're not better. You don't need prayer in that situation. You just need truth. So you're driving to work and that flashback comes, and all of a sudden you feel grayed out and almost feel like you felt back when you were first sorry. Anybody ever have this stuff happen? It's not a prayer issue. Watch what you do. You say, wow, Father, I thank you for changing my life. I thank that you washed me so thoroughly clean in the blood of Jesus and made me free. God, I'm so excited that I'm not the person I used to be. You brought true change to my heart, to my mind, and to my everyday walk. Man, I appreciate righteousness. I so appreciate the blood of Jesus in my life. Yeah?
Yeah.
Come on. I wanna do this. I do this sometimes. It's fun for me. I need a volunteer. Anybody, just run up here. Just one person. I need a volunteer. Oh, he beats you, man. What's your name?
Roman.
Roman? Okay, look. You think he's born again? Born again? Okay. Okay. So Roman's growing in God. We all have a history. We all have a yesterday. We weren't always saved. Right? There's things that we all wish we could have done different. There's stuff like that going on in everybody's life. True? I want to show you how I believe, according to scripture, the enemy works. He comes to Jesus, and Jesus said he comes and he has what? Nothing in him. That's a pretty amazing statement. Now, if Jesus told us to follow him, the things he did, we can do. See, people think this stuff's heresy. You got to follow Jesus. And if you see it in his life, you ought to want it in your life. And if you don't see it in his life, you shouldn't accept it in your life. But what we tend to do is we follow one another while we say we follow Jesus, but we follow in each other's experiences. And then we allow our experience to rise above the grace of God that's here to change us. Well, yeah, but you know how people are, brother. I'm not talking about how people are. I'm talking about Jesus. I'm talking about following Jesus, living by the Spirit. You get it? But we sell cheap so much and don't even realize we're doing it. So here's Roman, right? He's just growing in God. He's doing good. And adversity doesn't come at Roman's life because Satan has an issue with Roman and just wants to pick a fight. And he just, you know what? I just don't like him. I'm just going to just be mean to him. You know how people say, Satan's really getting after me. No, he's not. He's attacking the kingdom. There's a demon war against the kingdom of God and demonic forces. It's a demonic war, and you get to be in the middle and fight on behalf of the king. And your fight isn't the devil. Your fight is the good fight of faith. Your fight is walking in the light as he's in the light, overcoming evil with good, toning down a harsh word with a kind word, letting mercy triumph over judgment and cover a multitude of sin. Your fight is walking in righteousness. You get it? The reason adversity comes to people's lives, especially once the word comes, it says the word comes and Satan comes for the word's sake. He doesn't come for your sake. He's not just trying to give you a hard time. He just wants you to get self-centered, discouraged, don't want to step out anymore because all hell broke loose the last time. Well, I ain't praying that no more. Last time I prayed that, man, I went through. It's all calculated. It's to turn you inward, get you self-centered, self-focused, get you to back out so the kingdom is never established in your life. So that you never walk in what Jesus actually paid for. So that you go to church and maybe even do good church, but don't necessarily become her. So here's a little buddy. He just loves the Lord. He just loves the Lord. So you're just chilling. You're hanging out in your room. You're just doing something, man. You're just in a room somewhere. I don't want you driving because I don't want you to wreck. Okay? Because I don't want you praying and driving and closing your eyes. So I just have you in your room. You're just going to be in a room. Where's the place you hang out? Do you just spend quiet time sometime with Jesus? You just break away? Play? Oh, dude, come on. Okay. So he's just playing. Satan's over here. He sees Rome and the word comes. For the word's sake, he comes. So he's not coming personally. Satan's just one. He's just Satan. But he's got all these fallen spirits, these little weird little things that just made a big mistake, right? He says, come here. You know, yeah, boss. What do you want, boss? He says, you see him over there? Look, Romans, look, don't fear this little thing that's coming. This little thing that's going to crawl all over you. Don't even think fear it. So Satan says, you see him? He's like, really concerning me. He's going after the Lord. There's things that are getting established in his heart. I want you to make sure that he doesn't actually believe them, get him stuck in the motions, just get him doing that thing that he's graced and gifted. There's a gift. You can see it, right? So make the gift the focus, but make sure Jesus gets covered over in his life and make sure he's just going through the motions. Here's what I want you to do. Oh, boss. So this thing coming up. Oh, he's coming, Rome. So, you all right? Okay, he's going to touch you. Who's ever had just a, out of the blue, you have no reason for blue, and all of a sudden blue. Listen. He is so used to people living by sensuality. And we, the church, I'm not mad at us, but we, the church, have fed that lie, hook, line, and sinker. We have spent countless hours ministering to feelings, impressions, memories, flashbacks, and dreams, hoping the feeling of them goes away, believing we have a problem. You only have a problem when you believe the implication of memories, flashbacks, and all that stuff. It is good. You submit to God, resist the devil, he'll flee. It's a one-step program. Are you hearing me? Your fight is not the devil. Your fight is the good fight of faith, continuing to believe who you've become now that he came. First Peter nails it. He said the devil comes roaming. After Roman, the devil comes roaming after Roman like a roaring lion seeking to devour. But what's he tell Roman? You resist him by standing steadfast in the faith. Doesn't mean punch him in the mouth. You resist him by standing steadfast in the faith. In other words, no matter what he does to Roman, Roman doesn't budge from who he's become through Christ and why. And he doesn't let anything change his mind. You get it? So if you're free, you're free. She said, yeah, but I just feel bound. So proclaim freedom and thank God for freedom in your life. And thank God that you're not hindered in any way, that you have access to approach Him, that you're pure and holy in His sight, that you're clean in His presence. Well, I just feel defiled. So now you're going to have people pray for you so this feeling of clean comes over you. So then you're going to live by emotions and feelings the rest of your Christian life, and it's going to be a charade. You're going to get thrown into places you never belong. I'm not selling cheap, friend. I'm not for sale. And I know I'm aggressive right now, and I seem a little intense, but I'm not for sale. I've been bought with a price. You're going to slip up and give me an impression and try to gray me out? I'm going to lift up my voice. Father, I just thank you for the freedom that you brought through Christ. See, because some of this stuff, I know people are under bondage and some people need freedom. It's become a stronghold and they need help. For most Christians, it's a process. They start to believe a thought, believe an emotion, believe a feeling, and they slowly surrender healthy identity for the problem, and the problem becomes who they are and how they are, their language, their speech, and now they're on this long pursuit to get free when they always were. So this thing's coming, Romans just playing to the Lord. And all of a sudden there's this suggestion to Roman that none of this is really real. He just says this to Roman. What's it really matter, man? How's your life really making a difference? I mean, who really, really cares? Like fruit, are you serious? Like, come on, man. You're giving your heart to all this. You know, you always had this desire over here and there was a time you pursued this. I think that's cool. Even the Lord wouldn't mind. Who's ever had this kind of crazy stuff going on? So Roman's faced with a choice when these kind of contradictions come. Isn't it what happened to Eve? Eve's in the garden, and didn't a voice say, did God really say? Listen, God just knows that when you eat, you'll be just like him. She already was in his likeness. What'd she do? Heed the voice. Yeah? So now Roman has options. But if he's single eye, he doesn't have options. So as soon as he hears this, watch, he has the opportunity to totally ignore that he even heard it. Not rebuke the devil. Don't even mention the devil. Do you see what happens when you give people a mic and put them on a platform? They manifest. Like when you mic people up, when you put them on a stage, they manifest. Satan would love to be on a stage in your life. Ignoring. Did you ever play the ignore game when you were kids? And you get so mad because you know they hear you and they're acting like they don't and they're talking. And you're like, oh, knock it off, guys. You know you hear me. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about? Just totally ignore him because he's here. He's following the boss. He's over here. Hey, really? And all of a sudden, this feeling. Let's just say that Roman used to struggle with this heaviness that used to try to lay on him. It would just lay on him. It's just a heaviness like a whatever, who cares heaviness pushing on him in his life. He hasn't felt it for a while, and he got prayer, and he's just believing he's okay. And all of a sudden, out of the blue, while he's playing, this heaviness starts coming on. Now he has options, doesn't he? He can say, oh my gosh, I thought I was totally free from that. I wonder why this is showing up after all this time. God, I thought you delivered me. Now he's not even playing. He's on his cell phone. Hey, Johnny, man, I got this heaviness on me. I know this ain't God. Can you just pray for me? I need this heaviness to go, dude. Yeah, sure, man. Father, I just thank you. See, that sounds so Christian to us. Don't pick up the phone. You don't need to make a phone call because you're actually empowering the thing that's trying to trick you into this identity. Watch. So Roman, he's playing and this heaviness comes. Father, I just thank you for freedom in my life. God, I just thank you that I'm a brand new man in Christ Jesus. You've made all things new. I am so honored, Father, to be your son. All of a sudden, the playing increases, new songs and tunes are flowing out of his heart, and now he's singing to Jesus, right? So this little imp's like, what? So he runs back to boss. He says, boss. He says, yeah, did you tell him? Did you do what I said? Boss, I'm serious. I told him everything word for word that you told me to tell him, boss, but you ain't gonna believe this. Like this guy, he started playing. And worshiping God. You fool. You couldn't have told him what I said. Because when you talk like that to Christians, they get grayed out, discouraged, depressed, and call for prayer. Not this one, boss. No, not this Roman dude. I think, boss, I think he's a believer. You get it? So he comes back and does it again. Satan comes himself and does it again. And every time he just ignores. So watch. Satan is sure he can break Roman. But every time he takes the step to do it, he runs the risk of making him if he believes and fights the good fight of faith. How do you defeat that kind of wisdom if you stay in that place? Right? So if Roman stays in this place, all the enemy can do is empower what he already believes by contesting it, because he's affirming it. And all of a sudden, grace touches it and it becomes his reality. He's submitting to God, resisting, and it'll flee. Do you get what I'm saying here? This happens to everybody in their life. Everybody. You could be a year down the road, and all of a sudden, it's like you were there at that thing you never wanted to remember. And you think because you remembered it, it's somehow still in you? Here's the best barometer you could ever use. If your heart is troubled by what you're thinking, and if it bothers you, it's not you. So why would you wear the responsibilities if you have to repent for something you're not? Because every time you do that, you're selling your identity short. Are you with me? Thank you. You've helped me a lot. Thank you. No, I get it. Give him a shout. Thank you, Roman. All make sense to you guys? Okay. All that stuff I just shared wasn't really, this is what was on my heart here, but that all felt right. Because we want to stay healthy. We want to stay in the race. You know what? This is not the Christian life, guys. You ascend into him. Faith to faith, glory to glory. The day of the righteous grows brighter and brighter. This is not the Christian life. Ups and downs, highs and lows, mountain valley. He told you to come up hither.
That's right.
So here's what we get the idea of mountain valley. We think we got to climb to the mountain of the Lord. Get fueled up, get our tank almost bubbling over, and then go back down into the valley. Where you all are. And then pour out my heart, and then you drain me dry, and you just suck me clean, right? And then I'm like, okay, I hope I didn't wait too long. I've barely got enough strength to get back up to the mountain. This is my resting place. This is my body. Really, Lord? Really? Again? Down to the... He's anointed your head. Your cup runneth. No one should ever be drinking out of your cup. Spirituality is measured by overflow, not the cup. He's anointed your head. Your cup runneth. So they're drinking in the overflow. You try to reach my cup. I'm 26 years in this thing, man, and I'm bubbling over. You ain't reaching my cup. I've pastored. I've been on hours and hours of phone calls. I've had people track me down, pursue me, go out of their way to track me down and pursue me. I've had them pull up at my house over and over. You can tell I'm not hard, jaded, resentful, and ministry great if it wasn't for the people. Nobody's drinking out of my cup. Nobody ever has. It's running over. You splash in the saucer at best. Because there's a fullness that comes through Christ. And love is just a powerful thing. Are you with me? That doesn't mean you don't protect certain things with family times and stuff. And there's some certain things you do, but you don't put walls up to protect yourself from getting hurt by people. You can guard your time a little bit. Especially they slap you all over YouTube. Which is, it turned out to be an amazing thing, it seems. But when you didn't put yourself on YouTube, and somebody did, and people like what you're saying, or it seems to affect people and help people, and all of a sudden you got more emails than you could read, and you got everybody pursuing you that has a need, that wants prayer, and you didn't ask for any of that, you didn't even intend that, you didn't even post yourself. And all of a sudden, everything just shifts because somebody posted. Not complaining. I'm saying you have to walk through that. And if you don't have relationship and don't have love and have a good few of people, you'd just go hide in a cave for the rest of your life. Are you with me? So we're not going to live in that place. We're not going to stay in that place if we don't have a healthy communion with the Lord. It's just, there's no way around this. It's just bottom line. Your communion and fellowship with Jesus through the person of the Holy Spirit is vital in your life. And it's a big privilege. It's not a, hey, you have to do this in that sense. What a privilege to be found in his presence. What a privilege to be welcomed into his presence. What a privilege to stay there and not leave there. People say, well, I visit the throne room every day. I'm wondering why we leave living in him. It's not a visitation. It's a place you abide. It's a place you live in communion and fellowship with God. It's where you're driving in the car and you just, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you for fathering me. Man, I appreciate you. And sometimes your thank you is carrying so much weight because you know what you're saying when you say thank you, and he discerns it all. And you don't have to talk for a half hour. You just say, thank you, Lord, and it's all wrapped in a thank you.
You get what I'm saying?
Something I learned to say years and years ago, I'd be driving and say, thank you for fathering me. I so appreciate you fathering me. I say, Holy Spirit, what's on Father's heart this morning? What would you say? What would you reveal? And what would you want me to do? Man, just lead and guide me. I'm all yours. You're just communing like that. If you're staying active in communion and fellowship like that, you're not going to get caught off guard. People aren't going to rub you wrong and get on your nerves. You'll have new nerves. Like your identity gets established in him. You see what I'm saying? So all of a sudden, you're not trying to be okay through the course of life. And you're not trying to stop, look, and listen and make the right choices in the moment. That's where a lot of us tend to live. The Lord told me that was Crossroads Christianity a long time ago. He said, I never want you to live Crossroads. I said, Lord, I don't even know that sermon. I don't even know what you mean. He said, to where you always have a fork in the road and you have to pick and choose. I want you to become the truth, not choose the truth in the moment. I mean, that's powerful. I don't want you to try to have to apply the sermon you heard your pastor preach when you're in the jam. I want you to become that sermon when the jam comes. Yeah? You can see it in Matthew 7. It says, a wise man, what's he do? He hears, and what's he do? Obeys. So he applies what he hears to his life. Watch. And the rains come. Do you hear the window? He's not letting anybody hear and just get overwhelmed with the rains. You hear and you have a window of grace to apply and become, and the rain's coming. The storm's coming. That's not a bad prophecy. Listen, the Bible's saying the storm's coming. To the wise and the foolish, you're not afraid of the storm because you love the truth. The truth makes you free. The storm is never the issue. Adversity is never personal. It's all about the kingdom. So adversity in my life gives me the privilege to manifest what Jesus would look like in that moment. You get what I'm saying? So you're believing you're not going to be in a car wreck, and then you're in a car wreck. And instead of falling apart because what you were believing didn't happen, and why aren't my prayers being answered, and why doesn't God have my rear guard, and how come, and I'm just vulnerable, and what's wrong, and how's this door open? And now you're sitting on the curb crying and dismayed because your bumper's all smashed up, instead of being like Jesus in that moment because you prepared in him. So the accident doesn't throw you. The accident makes a draw on everything you've become. If you have a survival mentality and you're a Christian for your sake, you're a wreck when those things happen. Not just your car, you. Come on. And we're using God to get through circumstances. If you don't have a survival mentality and you wake up every morning and you understand you're alive for his great name, you're alive for his... Come on, guys, this stuff isn't like too hyper holy. This is the motive of the cross. This is Christianity. I'm alive for his name. I want to bring glory to his name without projecting and trying hard. I just want the purity and the beauty of who he's evolved me to be in fellowship with him to bring glory to his name in the moment. You get what I'm saying? That's why unforgiveness isn't an option. That's why offense gets obliterated. That's why discouragement, dismay, and whatever gets crushed, because none of those things were ever from him in the first place. We were homeschooled in the wrong home, and it's time to get refathered from above. Are you with me? So we learn from the wrong courses and the wrong lessons and the wrong syllabus. We had the wrong curriculum, guys. It's impossible. It's humanly impossible to just prepare to be a certain way. Like say when the fenders just boom and collide and your airbags imploded and you're getting out of your car. It's impossible to just be okay on your own. Because you're a diligent Christian, you've been reading a lot, and you just want a good man. You have to be in a place where you surrender and you exchange, and you give yourself to him, and he gives himself to you, and you become something in a place of prayer. You with me? So Jesus is totally selfless. Satan comes, has nothing in him. Don't think you can't follow that. Paul said that we shouldn't be unaware of the enemy's devices and we should give him no place. Come on, that means you're in. If Jesus is that, he wants to grow us into the place where it's true in our life. He works with self-centeredness. Every sin is hinged on self-centeredness. Every emotional dysfunction goes back to self-centeredness. Jesus said, if you come after me, there's something you have to do. You have to deny yourself. Why? Biggest problem on the planet. Men waking up and living for themselves when they're made for God's image. Becoming a Christian for their self. When they should be a Christian for his great name. Come on. Self-centeredness is damaging people. It's trashed every sincere, seemingly, I love you. Because selfishness then is exposed and it really wasn't, I love you, it's, I need you. Come on, it's just true. Deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. Come on, that's not hardcore. That's Christianity. It always was. It always has been. It always will. We're going to find out someday that's what it always was. It was that we were born into Adam, self-centered, separate from God, a God unto ourselves, and we must get born again, become a new creation, old things pass away, and behold, all things become new. I'm very militant about that in my own life. I'm my best accountability partner. I love people that keep track of me or maybe keep in touch with me, or I have a good friend that might say, hey, how you really doing? How's things been going? That's all sweet and cool. But I tell you what, I've taken a long time ago to heart that I'm my best accountability partner because I'm the one that has to live with me. And I'm the one that looks at me in the mirror. And if I have a healthy view of how God sees me, it builds a diligence and an integrity in me. And it restores things that got lost through the fall. Some things that people don't believe it's possible to actually have and live with. That are hard to preach from the pulpit because of our own experiences. How can a pastor that's living in hidden sin teach like this? How can he get excited about this unless he's just putting on a mask and a show? And I guess time will tell if that's what I'm doing. I guess we'll see someday. What I'm saying is a lot of these messages are contested because of the things that we haven't dealt with in our life. So we sell short and we say, well, you know, everybody has their moments, brother. What a cop out. What an injustice to what Jesus paid for. Everybody has their moments. That's a sell cheap. So you're going to justify trashing your wife with your words because everybody has their moments and hey, I had a long work day and I got up early and I didn't sleep well the night before. So now you justify not being like Christ and at her expense. And she's supposed to just be okay because we're not perfect. Is it okay if I'm talking like this or is this too intense? See, listen, even if my wife was doing that, I have to stand before Jesus someday. I'm my best accountability partner. It's just what I'm trying to teach you. I take accountability for my motives, the things I do, and the why behind my life. And I'm my best accountability partner outside of Holy Spirit. Because I have to look at me in the mirror. Do you know how many people don't like what they see when they look in the mirror? That's not healthy if you don't like what you see when you look in the mirror and you're out there trying to pray for the sick, because then praying for the sick will take the place of what you don't like seeing. And it's a cover-up. It's not a manifestation of the truth. You should be able to look in the mirror and say, man, God, I so love what you're doing in that person right there. You should be able to fist bump yourself and smile. I'm serious. I'm serious. You brushing your teeth. Hey, man. That sure beats, oh, no. Or ugh. Ugh. Look, I know I got a little intense here. You all right? You okay? Look, none of this is in legalism, works, or anything. It's just sincerity. It's like, why did the children of Israel, why were they handpicked? Why were they the children of Israel? Why were they the holy lump? Why were they the first fruit? God said, I picked a nation out from among the nations. Obviously, he started that with Abraham and the prophecies, and that was his people and all that. I get all that, right? We get all that. But why did he focus on a people group? Because everything's pointing to Christ. Everything's pointing, the whole focal point of the Bible is Christ. The revelation of Christ is the last book, right? The beginning is God making man through Christ in his image, right? Jesus being promised as early as Genesis 3. Then the whole power of Scripture is called the Old Testament of life apart from Christ, sin and death and all that kind of stuff apart from the blood. But if you look at all that, it all you can find Jesus everywhere in the Old Testament. It's all pointing to him because he's coming. And then you got he came, he's here. And then you got who we are now that he came, all the epistles. You get it? The whole focal point of the Bible. The whole focal point of the Bible is pointing to Christ. You get it? Okay. She got this holy nation called the Hebrews. Looks like God's, like their teacher's pet. Looks like God is biased. He said he selected them out from among the nations so that the nations of the world would know him through them. When they were falling apart bad in the wilderness, Moses and Aaron were going through a lot of wardrobes of clothing and putting a lot of dust on their heads. It was a pretty bad scene in the wilderness. They had some dirty hair, dude. And they tore a lot of clothes going on behalf of the people to God. There was a time where God said, yeah, Moses, I'll repent, I'll relent, and I'll remove this thing. But he said, let me tell you something, Moses. God said this. It goes through me when you read it. He says, as surely as I live, the whole earth shall be full of my glory. Yeah. You know what I think we think? We think outpouring. A mystical outpouring of God's presence. He's talking about you and me living in what we were created for. Yeah. He's talking about everything that he made Adam to be restored through Christ Jesus. Amen. Why did he put them in a little garden space? Why did he put them in a little garden space if he told them to be fruitful and multiply? Why do you put them in a one-room apartment if they're supposed to be fruitful, multiply, and cover the earth? So that they could be there, tend and keep that thing, and walk out this thing, and come together and reproduce after his own kind, his image, till the whole earth be filled with his glory. What's the psalmist say? What is man? What is this man? What is up with this man that you're so mindful of him? That you would visit him, that you'd give him dominion over the works of his hand, that he would be your crowning creation and glory? Who is this man? When he says that, what he's saying to Moses, I know what it looks like, but I got one coming. He was slain before the foundation of the world. He's going to remove this sin, and he's going to put my life, my spirit, and my nature back into people. And there's going to be a people on the earth that love not their own lives unto death, that actually have surrendered so they can live in me and I in them. And my glory's going to cover the earth. Yes. You know what the word glory actually means? Any manifest, made seen, or realized attribute of God. It's the glory of God. I know we make it a mystical thing. You can do a 3-day conference on glory and not be in error. But the glory of God, very simply defined, is any manifest, made seen, or realized attribute of God. It's the glory of God revealed. So the Christ in you is the hope of the... What's he saying? The Christ in you is the hope of God being seen and known. Do you get it? Now watch. Here's where you got to be your best accountability partner. Because if I really believe what I'm preaching today is not the day to have a bad attitude or whatever, or oh, who cares? Or, well, yeah, but they said, well, how? You don't know what I'm going through. You don't know how I feel. See, today's not the day. Never was the day. Tomorrow will not be the day either. But it's your choice. And that's what separates belief from unbelief. I know that feels harsh. I can feel that in the room. That stung. I can feel that. But I'm going to talk it plain. When we stand before God, there's going to be two groups. Who believed the finished work in the gospel and who didn't. Now, I'm not saying that determines whether you're going to heaven or hell or saved or not. The cross and the blood and faith in Jesus. I'm talking about becoming something. I'm talking about becoming love. Do you think it's possible to see your need for a Savior and not become love? I think it's very possible. Do you think it's possible to be sincerely sorry about the sins you committed and not have ever wanted to commit them and actually receive true forgiveness and never get an understanding of what you're called and created to be and just stay right in that place to where as if that's the end instead of the beginning? You with me? I'm not talking about heaven and hell. I'm not talking about whether you're going to heaven or hell. I'm not talking about that at all. Honestly, I personally never use that as the motivation for getting saved. It's not that I don't believe in hell, and certainly it's not that I don't believe in heaven. I just never use it as a motivation. Is it a real place? Yeah, I believe hell's a real place. Is it a motivation? No. My motivation is you dying to yourself so you can become what he paid for, not so you can rearrange your destination, so you can live your life for his namesake and his glory and leave something that lasts for eternity. Yeah. Why? To turn you from the power of Satan to the power of God. That's the motivation for salvation. Yeah. Are you with me? It's how I got saved. So I didn't get saved with the fear of hell and the thought of going to heaven. I got saved because I didn't want to live the man that I saw I was living because I saw it was zero. Look, unless the seed dies and falls to the ground, it what? It abides alone. So why don't you fall to the ground and die so you can spring up and bear much fruit? Are you with me? Come on, it's just true. It's just true. I need you to see this quick. I've been trying to get to this and then I don't get there. Happens to me a lot. It does. I don't know why. It's like I want to read the scripture and then 2-3 scriptures bombard me right when I'm ready to read it. Just bombard me. But y'all getting something? Something? The children of Israel, so the people of the earth would know him through them. What happened in Ezekiel when the people went out among the nations and everywhere they went, they profaned and misrepresented God everywhere they went. They profaned his name everywhere they went. They misrepresented who he was. What did he do? Throw in the towel? Smite them from the earth. He said, I'll tell you what I do. I'm going to call them all back together. I'm going to put a new heart in them. I'm going to put a new spirit in them. He said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm not going to do it for their sake. I'm going to do it for my great name. Why? Because he said he had a concern for his great name. Why? Because through them, people weren't getting the right impression of who he was. Boy, that should matter to a Christian. That should decide how you handle your marriage. That should decide how you deal with relationships. Why? Because you say you love him. Come on, man. See, that's the conviction that I bring. Had nothing to do with heaven and hell. Has to do with heaven on earth. Has to do with heaven in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. He had a concern for his great name. And the whole reason you're on the planet is to bear witness of his image. Do you ever hear somebody say, well, life is a challenge, life is a grind, life is a bleep, life is a blank? Do you ever hear that stuff? Yeah. You know why life feels that way to people? Because every day they wake up and live it outside of why they're here. So there's no grace on their life to empower them. They're on a road that he never told them to travel, so he's not putting any gas in the tank. So you're on your own. And life feels that way to people. But who's realized that when you get in Christ and you yield and you surrender and you start living life in the Spirit, you go, oh my goodness, it could have been this way the whole time. Like there's really such thing as freedom. There's a real true sense of peace. You and I can actually go to bed at night with a clear conscience and be in love with God and know he loves me. What? Yay. You mean I can love people every day with no string attached and God will actually move because he loves them? Oops. What was I thinking before? It sure beats just talking the Bible over coffee. And getting in a theological debate over what you believe. How about just going and loving somebody? Because you've had intimacy and fellowship and relationship with God. Are you with me? Yeah. Okay, I'm finally going to read this because I'm at a time where it's going to happen now or never. So we'll see. Verse 21, he's talking about you. And he's talking about me. And you, and that pointed, and you. You who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works. Now, he's not just talking about adultery and murder and pornography running through your mind. He's not just talking about all these sinful things that we think of. The way your and my mind work was totally contrary to God, to his kingdom, and to his plan. Your and my mind worked in a total self-centered way. From the time you were born, and you must be born. See, we were all born into Adam. Romans 5 is probably one of the clearest chapters you can read to see how that all went down. You were all born into Adam. We were all born into Adam, and you must be born again. Somehow we turned that into a beneficial prayer that takes me to heaven when I die. But it's actually a transformation of life and purpose and destiny that takes you out of the old and into the new, out of darkness into the light. Are you with me? Come on. Because if all you have is a revelation that born again is that I'm going to heaven, hey, you saved, and all you're asking is, did you pray that prayer? Are you in? Are you going to heaven? You could live the rest of your life with a yes and amen and still be mad at your spouse, still live in unforgiveness, and not even have a conviction because you prayed the prayer. Listen, we were enemies and alienated. You know how you're either for him or against him? We think that's people that are saved or aren't saved. Watch. You're either for him or against him. You can be for him with your motives, your belief, and your understanding. You'd be totally born again, see your need for a savior, have your sins forgiven, have an attitude that's totally contrary to the kingdom and everything he wants to do. And there's no middle ground. You're either for him, you're either working with him and going with the flow and bringing a synergism to the plan, or you're a road bump. You either gather to me or you scatter. You're either living in the vein of what I'm doing or you're not. I think we read those scriptures and think he's talking about saved, unsaved. You can be a vital member of your church and get in a wrong belief, an attitude, or something unhealthy and actually get in the way of everything that God wants to do through you and the people around you. You realize the Bible says there's people that are going to kill people. They're going to actually murder people and believe in their heart they're doing God a favor. That's how deceived people can be. Ain't that something? Okay, wow. Well, I'm not going to read that verse. No, I'm not. I wanted to. It's a good verse, too. I mean, Jesus likes it. Okay. I want you to look at Matthew 24. This is what I'm supposed to read. Maybe next session we'll cover Colossians 1 because it's so good. Because I wanted to take you to the place of how God sees you so you can have right relationship with him. You want the veil removed always before God so that you can be with him. We'll probably cover it. I need to finish this session. This was a pretty intense session. I got on some touchy stuff. I got it pretty intense, I think. You all right? You're not hurt, right? You see what I'm saying, and I'm not mad at anybody, not judging you. I'm just calling you to the place he paid for. Because the scriptures like this, I just can't skip over them when I'm reading my Bible. You bump into them. You read scriptures like this when you read your Bible, and you go, whoa, I get this. Watch this. Take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come. Verse. I've just jumped in verse 4 or 5. Because you could jump in anywhere here. It's so good. Matthew 24. For many will come in my name saying, I'm the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars and see that you're not troubled. Hey, see that you're not troubled. Why? Watch. The war or the rumor of war, or the war itself can never change purpose of why he's in you and why you're here. The whole COVID thing, I think we freaked out at large as a church. The election, I know we imploded and freaked out. And it just kind of indicts us and reveals some things that we need to get back to on track and on purpose and stop hating people and people aren't our enemy and stop letting the purpose of God and the call of God get thwarted by things we don't agree with. I think we reacted at large as a people to the election instead of responding Christ. And I think we've let the election matter more than why we're here and why he's in us. And I think we're selling out time that we don't have. Doesn't matter who the president is. It matters why Christ is in you and why you're alive. And if you'll stick to that, when the trumpet blows, you'll know you were in the right place. You just don't get moved from love. Don't let your heart get hard over politics. I got friends that are big in, I'm not saying it's wrong to be in politics, but I have a hard time finding a friend of mine that crosses a line where they're really into it and don't lose the heart of God along the way and start taking people personal. And now they're calling people things that God would never call them. And all of a sudden, there are wars, flesh and blood instead of powers and principalities. And all of a sudden, the heart of God gets lost in the... You guys had a real challenge right here in Seattle. I mean, you're on our news all the time back the whole last year. And honestly, a lot of us were going, what are they doing in Seattle? Yeah. I'm just being real. Like, how is this possible? Why would they even tolerate? What in the world? That's what people are saying all the time. But you have to be careful right in the midst of that, that you don't get all caught up in that and start taking sides and start losing sight of who you are and why and missing everyday purpose. So keep sowing, keep watering, and watch God bring increase in the midst of it all. Yeah? So watch this. And all these things must come to pass. Don't let your heart be troubled. I emphasize that. All these things come to pass. The end's not yet. Now watch this. For nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. And there will be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in various places. Have we all seen all these things in our lifetime? All these are the beginning of sorrow. So they bring real hazard, real calamity, and real circumstantial stuff. He's being real. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. And you will be hated by all nations. Why? For my name's sake. Why did he bring the Hebrews back? For them or for his? You see how important it is to live for his name's sake? Oh. And then many, many are going to be offended, and they're going to betray one another, and they're actually going to hate one another. Oh, no wonder voices that are false are going to rise up right when everybody's vulnerable. Then false prophets will rise. Why? Because the ear will be twisted in hearing. They'll be vulnerable. When you're offended and when you're in hate, it skews you. The people that lived in unforgiveness can look back on that season and say, man, I did things I knew I'd never do. Why? It was the unforgiveness motivating you. Do you understand that everything has children? Like if you're discouraged, discouragement will birth desire. It's a survival mechanism. So if you're mad at pastors, you're mad at your church, you're mad at the spiritual condition of your community, and you don't understand walking in love, and now you're saying your pastor's controlling, and he won't let me into ministry, and all of a sudden you're just, and these people don't appreciate God, and all of a sudden you're discouraged and frustrated, and all of a sudden this desire rises up in you, I'll start a ministry, I'll do this, I'll do that. Most of the time, when it's birthed that way, the root's not good, the fruit can't be good anyway, but most of the time, all that's happening is the discouragement that you're living in is birthing the desire, and you're calling it the call of God. Years ago, I was praying to God to take me to the mission field and give me a nation. If you'd have listened in on the prayer, you'd have thought, wow, that guy is on it. He's for real. When I was all done my prayer, the Lord said, so you want to go to the nation and preach to the hungry and give you a nation? I said, yeah. He said, my son preached to those who despised and rejected him. He said, you get your heart where my son's heart is, and we'll talk about this. And I didn't know what was happening, but I started to cry because I knew he was fathering me. And I started to cry, and then he put his arm around me, so to speak, in the spirit, and he spoke this to me. He said, Dan, the only reason you're praying to go to the mission field is because you're discouraged with the people you're pastoring because you don't believe they appreciate righteousness and you believe they're spoiled. And your discouragement towards them is birthing desire for the mission field because it's an escape. He said, and I could let you go. And because you honor my word and I honor my word, people get healed and saved and you'll have a legacy and testimony on the mission field. But every time I move, your heart will get hard to what you disdain. And he said, and every time I move, it'll be at the cost of your own heart because you didn't go because of me. You went because of discouragement. Next thing you know, you don't even want to preach in America. God can't even move in America. We've all heard that. And the Lord said, the only reason you desire the mission field right now is because you haven't dealt with the discouragement that's residing in your heart towards the people you're pastoring. And he said to me, Dan, everything has children. Ain't that something? So he fathered me and rescued me. Or I'd probably be on the mission field mad at you. Instead, I'm here and I absolutely love you, I promise. So watch this. So then these false prophets are going to rise up because people are vulnerable. Do you see the order? It's because of the condition of men's hearts, because they're vulnerable. So that's when all these voices are going to rise up and gain sides, right? Now watch. Uh-oh. This is it. This is what we're going for. And because lawlessness will abound. Remember even the election? Remember all the implications? Remember all the conspiracies, all the stuff that was projected and all? It could be anything, but watch this. Because lawlessness abounds, guess what? The love of what? Uh-oh. All of a sudden, lawlessness has the power to make the love of many grow cold. Why? They get their eyes on the lawlessness instead of the purpose. And the love of many will grow cold. But watch this. But he, who what? Yes. Till the end shall be what? Yes. I read this one day in my bedroom, and then I went to Matthew 7 and read that not everybody will, that says, Lord, Lord, will enter in, and many will come to me in that day. And I started saying many and many, and it's red letters. That means it's happening. And I freaked out. I lost it in my bedroom. I'm crying in despair. I'm like, what's the use? Why bother praying? Why do all this that we're doing? If many are going to say in that day and many are going to grow cold, then why are it? I'm just bawling, and it was pitiful. And the Lord spoke to me in such an authoritative, powerful way, stood me to my feet. I mean, you should have heard that in my heart. And he said, that's exactly why you live in faith. That's exactly why you continue to lay down your life and go the extra mile, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, okay, why? Why? Yeah. He said, so the many isn't many. Wow. And like, God, you're so cool. Is one too many? So what is many? He said, you live your faith, so the many isn't many. And I was like, I'm sticking with you. Because you can get in this analytical place and miss God by a million miles. And he's saying something that you don't even realize he's saying, and you're turning into something he ain't saying. And now you're discouraged, and you have every reason to be encouraged. So unless he comes and fathers us, that can get blurry, can't it? Let's make sure we don't live there. Listen, the whole goal of all this stuff is so your love grows cold. Make sure you're not part of the many. Make sure you continue in love and you endure till the end. And you shall be saved. That word doesn't mean go to heaven. It means healed, delivered, protected, preserved, made whole, kept safe and sound. That's what that word means. Are y'all good? Will you stand to your feet and let's just surrender to him and submit to him? It's just a teaching session. We're not going to do a lot of ministry here right now, but I wanted you to stand to your feet and just honor of him. And we're just going to receive right now the grace of God to live this life. Are you serious about what you heard this morning?
Yes.
You want to go after this with all your heart?
Yes.
Listen, nobody but you is going to stand before him that day. You're not going to have your spouse beside you, and you're not going to be able to say, well, Lord, I would have believed if it wasn't for them. It's not going to be like that. You're going to look into his fiery eyes of love and light and go, oops. So don't do that. If it's not going to work now, don't let it work then. Don't let it work now, right? So lift your hands with me to heaven, would you? We're just going to believe for grace to empower us. That if he's going to shake everything that can be shaken, let us have grace that we might stand in this truth, right? So, Father, I ask for grace to be imparted right now in this room to empower us to live everything we've heard. Any person in this room, Father, that said yes to anything they heard, you know all that. That's all sorted out before you. Any sincere yes that attached to anything that was heard, let it become fruit in their lives. And I ask, Lord God, that you would burn it in us as an eternal conviction, God, that we would live this thing till the day you come, that our hearts and our love would never grow cold, that we'd endure till the end. And many, many, many people would know you because we won't change our mind. In Jesus' name, I ask it. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Thank you and bless you.